I think traveling enriches you. You know, as somebody said, it broadens your horizons and loosens your bowels. So I like traveling. I'm passionate about that. And then, of course, health. We all need to prioritize. Going back to your healthcare problem, I think we all want to solve the problem from a systemic perspective, but I also want to bring everybody's attention to individual accountability, right? So something that we all ignore again, right?
This is the Indianness Podcast, stories of success for leaders and change makers of Indian origin. Why have Indians achieved success across so many different disciplines around the globe? I have no idea, but let's find out together. And every story is unique, and we have a unique story today with us too. I'm very excited to have Kalyan Perry with us. He's the Chief Information Officer, CIO of commercial business for Conduent, a large technology provider. He's also served in leadership roles at Infosys and other technology companies. I invited him on this show as he's been through two of the most prestigious as well as the hardest institutions in the world, IIT, Indian Institute of Technology, and Indian Institute of Management in India. Some say it's harder to get into those institutions than some of the other institutions like in the US and elsewhere. Welcome, Kalyan. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on our podcast.
Thank you, Sanjay. Thank you so much for having me here. Looking forward to the discussion.
Wonderful, Kalyan. You are in the technology world, so you know, as they say, to solve a problem or to find the genesis of an issue, you go to the source code. So we want to go to your source code, which is start from the very, very beginning. So tell our listeners, where were you born? Tell us about your parents, your siblings. Just please walk us through that journey.
I was born in Hyderabad, the capital of Telangana right now, but I was brought up in a village in East Godavari district in Andhra Pradesh. And I was brought up by my grandparents. My father used to work for Bank of India, and he used to travel a lot on work. And that's one of the reasons why my grandfather decided that he's going to bring myself and my brother up in the village. I did my schooling in the village called Kottapeta in East Godavari district up to my 10th. And then subsequently, I moved on to a nearby town called Kakinada for my plus one and plus two. With regards to siblings, I do have a younger brother. He currently works for MetLife in Hyderabad.
Wonderful. Kalyan, that's a pretty interesting journey. So you were in Hyderabad. Dad was in a position that was mobile. He was moving from one location to another. So he said, okay, let me have you spend time and be well protected with your grandparents. And he moved you to the village. How old were you when you moved to the village, Kalyan?
I was just about 2 to 3 years old. That's when I moved to the village. My parents were with us until my first grade or second grade. And then subsequently, my dad started working in MP, in Bhilai, and then in Itarsi and a bunch of other places. So practically all my schooling was in the village in Telugu medium until my 10th grade, right? We used to live with our grandparents, my paternal grandparents. My mom used to visit us every 3 to 4 months, and then we used to visit my parents in the summer holidays. And my dad used to visit us potentially every 6 to 9 months, right? So that's the arrangement. In hindsight, it worked out very well, but you know, that's essentially what the ecosystem was.
So when you moved there and your parents were obviously away, your grandparents became de facto parents in many ways for you. And then you were going to schooling and things of that nature. Did you think it was a little unusual situation? What was going on at that time in your mind, Kalyan?
I think it is unusual right now, but you know, at that point in time, I didn't think it was unusual, right? Because it's like this, right? We didn't know any better. So that's life for us. So I was with my grandmom. She was practically my second mom. And then actually until about 5 or 6 years old, I used to call my grandmother Amma. And then I realized my mom is a little different. It's a different person, right? So it was a much simpler life those days, right? My grandfather, from an education perspective, my grandfather passed out 8th grade, right? That's the education that he had. My dad was able to do his graduation, not a professional degree, but graduation. But they were always, somehow they knew that they need to give us the basic education. It was, I kind of see my grandfather made a decision for safety because my father was mobile, because my grandfather, I mean, at those days, my dad used to listen to my grandfather. So until my grandfather passed away, that's how the rules were laid out in our home, good or bad. So he kind of decided that safety is more important than moving around. And that's the decision that he had made. The village was great. It was a much simpler life. We used to walk to our school. We used to play, I would say, 2/3 of the day, because our school was just about 4 to 5 hours of instructions in those days. But we were fortunate to have found a handful of friends in the village. And we used to learn from each other, play a lot. And a couple of my seniors had families that have studied better. And we used to understand from them, learn from them, and used to think about how would life be after 10th grade, right? Much, much simpler world, much different world. I wouldn't say we were in a protected environment, because we were not, but it's like we didn't know any better. For example, I did not hear of IIT until I got into my 11th grade. I moved to the town. I heard about MCET, which is the state engineering entrance exam, in my 9th or 10th grade. So we were just enjoying life as it comes, if I may say so. So that's life for us at that point in time.
That was your normal. And it seemed like a pretty good one. How was the schooling? Were you academically challenged at that time? How were you doing in school in the village?
It was a different ecosystem. We were not academically challenged. If you use the phrase similar to the way we use gifted / challenged in the current world, but for some reason, we realized we were in the top few students in the village. Yeah, both myself and my brother. Once you get to the pole position, you just want to
stay there,
you know, hang on to the pole position. So that's what happened, right? When I started looking back, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, we used to be it was a much smaller ecosystem. Our school had possibly about 200 to 250 students in every class. It was not a very small village. It's called a mandal in the, you know, Grama Panchayat ecosystem in Andhra Pradesh. So it's a mid-range school. So once you got on the pole position, you stick with it. A lot of it is self-study, and a lot of it is, I was fortunate enough to have a couple of friends who were in my street who were 1 year senior. And we used to learn a lot from them. And they had similar pole positions in my senior year. So it's only natural for me to follow them, right? So that's essentially what happened. So the goal was always to stick to the pole position, stay at the top 1 or 2 or 3 positions and study and enjoy. And it was a lot of self-study, right? The school that we studied, it was a government school. There were lack of funds. If I just reflect on it right now, we didn't have teachers for all subjects. For example, in 8th grade, we had a science teacher. In 9th grade, we had a maths teacher. Some of these specific teachers, they were not staying in the village. Now you reflect back, right? Someone will come from the city, they stay there for a year or two, they apply for a transfer and then move out, right? So that sort of was the situation. There were a handful of teachers, especially the local language Telugu. We had teachers who were great teachers, who were locals. And then there were a couple of teachers on the PT, physical training, etc., who were localites, who were always there for every class. But if I recall, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, we had gaps in teachers, right? And we used to study mostly self. We did have tuitions for maths and science in my 9th and 10th grades. Yeah, which is again a local teacher, a high school. Our own math teacher used to teach us in the evenings. All right. We all used to walk there, go there, spend about an hour and then come back. So that's the broad ecosystem. I did not have English as a subject until my 8th grade. I did not have Hindi as a subject until my 8th grade. But before that, we did know, we did learn at home, because obviously parents teach stuff to you, whether it's alphabets, whether it's sentences and stuff like that. But I never had the culture of reading any other English book or a novel or a literature until I landed in Chennai in IIT.
But when did mom and dad come back? Which grade were you in?
That mom and dad came back in 9th grade for me. I continued in the village in 9th and 10th, and my dad came to the nearby town, Kakinada, which was actually a blessing in disguise. They were there in my 9th grade and 10th grade, which was like 60-70 kilometers from my village. It used to take us 3 hours in those days. Nowadays, you could do that in an hour, I guess, right? So they came back at that time, and then it was only natural for me to consider switching to the nearby town, Kakinada, for my 11th grade, because the way the state board works, 10th is a major milestone, 11th and 12th is a separate interim milestone, and then you go to your college, right? So that's how the education system was in the Andhra Pradesh Secondary Education Board. So I moved to my parents in my 11th grade, and that's when I moved to the nearby town, which is a much bigger town. And then that's where I learned through my friends about IIT and then started preparing for that in my 11th grade.
How did you do in your 10th grade, Kalyan?
So I did fairly well. I was obviously the topper in my village school. So it was, it was about 87% to 87% in those days. It was fairly high, right? If you compare nowadays, people score close to 99s, but that's how it was close to 30 years ago. So I did well. And then I moved to the town, and then I realized there were a lot of people like me who moved from nearby villages and towns, because Kakinada was the hub in East Godavari, in addition to Rajahmundry, right? So I was grateful that my dad moved at that point in time back to that town, and I had the opportunity to study and again take a shot at some of these competitive exams.
So when you moved to Kakinada for your, you moved for there for the 11th grade, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So how was that? The transition was good, positive. You liked that school, the people, the friends, new friends. How was that environment for you?
It was, we did a lot of those people, the way if I look back onto the ecosystem, there were two parts to that ecosystem, right? One is, again, I enrolled in a college called PR Government College, right? Which is one more government college, which was supposed to be the better or the best government colleges in Kakinada those days. And obviously my 10th grade percentage ensured me I get in. Right. But the challenge is this, right? I was doing everything in Telugu medium until then. And then I flipped over to the English medium of instruction, right?
In the 11th grade.
Yes, in the 11th grade. And that's usually common practice those days. If somebody wants to pursue engineering, I would say 50% of the students who want to do well or who want to take on that challenge would pursue, move to the nearby towns and then flip from the Telugu medium of instruction to English medium of instruction. It is definitely challenging, but it's not unusual, right? So that's one challenge. The second challenge is we've had tuitions for math, physics, and chemistry, because that's what I kind of was focused on at that point in time. I made a decision at the end of the 10th grade that I'm letting biology go, primarily because I was bad at drawing, right? But that's how the decisions get made at that point in time. So I did that. And we used to have a 2-hour session on math every morning from 5 to 7. And then 1-hour session for physics and 1-hour session for chemistry, again, from 5 to 7 or 6 to 8, depending on the day. And then we used to go to the college in between during those hours, right? So you wake up, you cycle to your tuition. I would say it's about 6-7 kilometers, maybe about a 15-minute bike ride, right? And then learn the math, go back home, get ready, go to the college, and then go through the classes, and then come back home, and then prepare for maths and physics. That's the usual day, right? Even before the college started, we used to enroll into these tuitions, and then college sort of dovetails into the remainder of the day, because your focus was the tuitions, not the college, right? The college, where what you're focused on primarily, again, it's unfortunate, but you know, the college, what you're focused on primarily is the languages. You've had English, you've had Sanskrit, and then you've had laboratories. One is a physics laboratory, one is a chemistry laboratory. These are the four that you would focus on the college, but the primary instruction on math, physics, and chemistry was from these tuitions, right? So that's how the setup used to be. These tuitions, I don't know how to see that. They are not very expensive those days. For example, I think it used to be 1,000 to 1,500 rupees for a physics lesson.
That's changed
quite a bit. Because these were the days when the Narayanas or the Kotas were possibly much smaller ecosystems, right? So that's what I used to be. And that's what my
life
was.
This was in 11th and 12th. That was your life.
Pretty much 11th and 12th. And we started, college starts sometime in July after all the admissions. I started these tuitions sometime in May at the end of 10th, even before my results were out. Right. And then from May all the way to next May, 2 years ago, you wrote JEE on May 1st week, 2 days. And then you wrote MCET on June 15th. So that's pretty much is the 25 months life.
But what was driving you? What was driving you? Because you, again, and this is just a question, I'm making an assumption. You didn't have anybody kind of navigating you or pushing you or guiding you towards any of this. Was that?
Not within the family. I think it's a lot from what I've seen from my seniors that I spoke of in my street. And then I think there seems like an inner drive to be able to do well, right? It's once you start seeing the result, the tailwind itself will drive you, right? If that's how I see it. I mean, I still keep looking for what was driving us. Maybe there are a couple of things. Maybe I can reflect back when I look back on my, I did talk about my paternal grandfather. I think I just also want to make a mention of my mom's dad, my maternal grandfather. He was a different personality, right? He lost his dad at 20. When he was 20, he was married. He already had my mom by then, more or less. And then he had 8 siblings who were 20 and under, right? He went through a journey bringing all of those 4 brothers and 4 sisters, get them settled. And in parallel, he used to work for Income Tax of India, right? He started at the lowest level, clerical level. And by the time he retired as an assistant commissioner of Income Tax, he used to be a lot more sort of inspiration in those days. We used to spend time with him only during our holidays, potentially the Pongals and the Dasharas. That's when we used to go and meet because our summers are blocked for my parents. I would like to believe there is a internal motivation to be able to emulate the success that he was enjoying, because by the time I was in my 10th grade, he's already at a higher level. And he used to work for the government, and whenever people used to come, we used to see that he used to make an impact in that role or in that position. Potentially, that's the dichotomy that I had, where a paternal grandfather, who I would say, he's an embodiment of this philosophy, happiness lies within you. You need not look elsewhere, right? He's always focused on people. He's always focused on friends and family, meeting people, celebrating festivals, living within your own means sort of stuff, right? And then on the other side of the spectrum, somebody with the same cultural background, but a lot more ambitious, coming from the lowest level of the corporate strata and then grow through the ranks, right? So that's what possibly would have played me, and that's what might have given me the motivation to go after, you know, what I was going after.
So maybe emulating the maternal side professionally and the paternal side for the internal happiness kind of thing. But you, obviously there's something internally also within you that was driving you, because there was a lot going on. Kalyan, so 11th and 12th, and you were staying with your parents at that point, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So you were staying with the parents. Brother was also staying with the parents. He was also going to college doing the same time. Then what happened at the end of 12th? And you started thinking about IIT and all that other stuff because of the older people that you had been trying to emulate. They were starting to talk about that.
Yeah. So IITs is something that happened in my 11th grade when I landed in the tuitions. I made a handful of friends, and MCET is the engineering entrance examination. That's what everyone goes after. That's the holy grail. All right. But that's when I learned about IITs, and then a handful of my friends in the tuitions and started preparing for that. That's when I realized, okay, so I started obviously collaborating with them. One of my friends used to get the Agarwal's correspondence. I enrolled for the Brilliance correspondence. And because we did not have any formal coaching or tuition for IITs in our town those days, right? The focus of my tuitions was primarily completing plus 11, plus 1 and plus 2, and then MCET. Right? That's the focus of those tuitions. The preparation for IIT is a little different from the MCET preparation, right? which tends to be a lot more objective in nature from acing the exam perspective, right? Whereas IIT is a lot more subjective, large-scale problems and things of that nature. And it takes the disciplines, especially in the physics, chemistry, and maths, to a different level to some extent, right? So we were exchanging notes. We started studying in 11th grade itself. And then as I started going through 11th, halfway through 11th, early 12th, some of my friends said they are not going to follow through. And then they started giving the material to me because I said, maybe I'll continue to follow. So that's what happened.
But you were already in Brilliant, right, by that time?
Yeah, I had Brilliance, but I was also getting the correspondence material
for Agarwal's.
Yeah, so it was, there were two, three, five things that I was focused on, right? Brilliance, Agarwal's, and then you have three large-scale IIT guides those days, right? ML Khanna for mathematics, OP Agarwal for chemistry, and then there's one more for physics, which I'm not able to recall. And then that's what I was doing. I mean, at some point in time, it was an interesting time. All I was doing was just doing problems, having fun time with my mother, who is an amazing cook. We used to enjoy all those specialties that she used to make, and we used to watch a lot of Bollywood, right? Those were the days when VCPs and VCRs were released, and my dad just got a VCR. So every weekend, we used to watch a couple of movies, watched a ton of 60s, 70s, 80s Bollywood with my parents because they love Bollywood. That's my life for those 2 years. And then I did take the JEE in May, I think, 93, and then fortunate enough to get selected. And then from there, I chose IIT Madras Mechanical Engineering and then entered Chennai. That's what happened.
But some key things at that time also. One was your first moving into the village. That was a pretty significant thing in your life. And the second was moving back to Kakinada for 11, 10, 12, because you had those people, they kind of got you into the IIT stream, so to speak, because they were pursuing it. You said, I also want to do it. Some of them backed out. You got the materials and you did. Your parents, were they wanting you to do IIT, or it was not that big a priority for them?
By then they realized I'm going to be doing engineering, but I don't think they had a preference per se for IIT, right? I think by then my parents have realized I'm going to end up as an engineer, which itself they were very happy with, right?
So they didn't know the prestige of IIT at that time.
I think my dad knew because I was asking him to buy the books, right? ML Khanna, OP Agarwal, IE Erdo, right? SL Loney. These were some of the books that I was just, again, some of them I didn't do. I just bought it because everybody wants to buy it. It's like the way you buy shoes before you want to run, right?
Or you buy golf clubs before you start.
Absolutely. There is some of that too, but I did use some of those. So he knew because I used to go to take him to the bookstore, and we didn't have secondhand books sort of stuff in Kakinada, unlike some of the cities have. It was, some of those books were expensive, but he knew what I was going after, right? But he was not sure whether I was going to succeed or fail.
So when you gave the exam, did you think you were going to make it, Kalyan? What was your thought?
I knew I did the examination pattern was a little different compared to these days, Sanjay, right? We had the qualifier. And then we had the 3-hour blocks of physics, maths, chemistry, right? I thought I did the qualifier reasonably well. So I knew I was going to be evaluated. And I thought I could have done the math better. I did chemistry well. Physics was always my Achilles heel. My strategy was always to develop on math and chemistry and then do as good as it gets on physics. So that's how it was. But I thought I did make some... There were some lost opportunities in math is what I thought, but I was fancying my chances if I were to look at those 6 weeks.
So when you got the result, were you happy?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What was going through your mind?
I thought it was great. I thought it was great to be able to get into the top 1,000 at that point in time. And I knew I would get a discipline that I might like close to my home. So it was, I would say, ecstatic, right?
So of all the friends who were with you, how many got in besides you?
So there were two of us in our year who got in, myself and one more friend who I was studying with. So two of us got in that year.
The rest did not, but their books came in handy for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is good. So now you are on your way to Chennai or IIT Madras. How was it when you went there? What was it like? Because you were a very smart kid in the village with other smart kids, but now you are a very smart kid with some very smart kids also in IIT.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it took me a few months before I realized where I was. And by then the first semester has just passed by and it was a disaster. Right.
Sure.
Yeah. So it was interesting. The other challenge that I had was, even though I moved from the medium of instruction change from Telugu to English, it didn't impact me when I did that in plus one or plus two. Because all said and done, maths, physics, and chemistry, it didn't require me to have a conversation to somebody else. I was able to interpret, I was able to understand the meaning. I was still working in my own brain with my primary language is Telugu. But when you were brought up like that, the issue is this. I still have the same challenge. See, when you go through a medium of instruction, you start thinking in that language. There is a connection between logic and how you want to interpret that logic and how the articulation comes out of your mouth. So I started struggling there. Luckily for me, again, I was extremely fortunate enough to make a bunch of friends. Some of them are friends for life now. I'm in touch with those guys even now. We talk about every topic these days, starting from the politics, starting from education, starting from children. So those friends did help me manage
where
my...
Were they from your area? Were they from Hyderabad?
Yes, pretty much. All of them are from Hyderabad. And that language connection definitely helped at that point in time, especially in IIT. I do have friends
and they
from
had
IIT.
They had better English skills than you?
I would say... It's
at
a mixed
that
bag.
Point, at that
yeah,
point,
I would say, if I look back, there were eight of us. I would say six of us have better skills, much better skills. Some of them, I used to love the way they write things, they communicate things. It's different, right? Because in IIT, we used to have, those days, they took English out. 2 years before my time, they took English out. IIT joint entrance used to have English as one of the papers, right? In addition to maths, physics, chemistry, they took it out in 1991. Lucky for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have, and scores of other students wouldn't have made it to IIT. But when I joined IIT Chennai, they did give me an exam to test my English ability. So it depends on how you score in that exam, you would be allowed to take electives like language, French, German, English 2, and English 1 being the lowest in the strata, and obviously I ended up in English 1, right? So some of my friends took German, some of my friends qualified for English 2, etc., right? Because there were questions like, what do you call egg white? I have no idea what an egg yellow is called. Leave alone egg white, right? Albumin, apparently. Good to know, right? So it's tough, right? At that point in time, I realized I need to focus on English. Until that point in time, that handicap never bothered me, but that's when it started bothering me, because I was very aware of the weakness that I've had. But that didn't stop me from making friends and have a great time in my IIT. Again, I was fortunate enough to find these friends. I was fortunate enough to not get into any emotional issues. As a 17-year-old with no principal instruction in English, landing up in Chennai and then managing 4 years, it just happened. So again,
but it was a great experience, you're saying.
It was a great experience for me in hindsight. I mean, I met my friends for the 20th year reunion. I met my friends for the 25th year reunion. I meet not just my core group of eight friends, but my hostel mates. We just met, 20 of us met in Austin, in USA, right? So we have a very strong connection, right? So definitely, I think that sort of the friends ecosystem would have helped. If I reflect back, at that point in time, we were all competing with each other for ranks, I guess.
Yep.
But that did not come in the way to become sort of good friends and great friends. So that's how it was, right, at that point in time.
So it was a great experience that you were doing mechanical engineering there, right?
Yes, I did mechanical.
Yeah. And so let's say IIT ended, then what happened, Kalyan?
So I took up my first job with Infosys right after IIT. It was a campus placement.
Which city?
This was in Bangalore. So from Kakinada to Chennai, Chennai to Bangalore. So I was with Infosys for 2 years in Bangalore. It was my first time in a sort of a cosmopolitan. I was in Chennai, granted, but we were in the hostel.
Yeah, we were still in your cocoon.
Exactly. We were in a different cocoon. The only times we used to go out was, we used to go to a theater called Melody to watch Bollywood movies, Bazigar and whatnot. And then maybe we used to step out once every alternate week to go and eat outside, right? Even though the frequency with which we stepped out increased exponentially from year one to year four, right? So that was great. But Bangalore, it was different. And we joined Infosys. It was a great company. This was way back in 97, 99. So one of those days where Infosys used to be a 2000 employee organization, give or take, somewhere in that range.
This is when Narayan Murthy was the CEO.
Yeah, absolutely. Great experience. Got to see how the corporate world operates, how we can contribute to the corporate
and
world.
And people from different part of India also were there?
Yeah, absolutely. And we did have people come in from different schools. We were a batch of, I would say, about 120, 150. I think these were those times where Infosys used to hire and train in anticipation of the future demand. That was one of those strategies that was adopted by Infosys at that point in time, worked out very well for all of us,
yes.
Right? So it was, again, a common group, but I moved with my IIT ecosystem. We were four of us who took a house, lived together, and then these were different folks, not from my own branch or my own hostel, but it was a great experience of having to go to work, you know, learn, train, start working on projects. These were the days when some of us were working on mainframes. These were the days Y2K was possibly getting started. It was not even there in the horizon. These were the days when industry was flipping from monolithic mainframes to distributed client servers, right?
Power Builder, Visual Basic,
Power Builder, you know. And then in the campus, we did Pascal and Fortran, but that's not something that I never got to use.
And so, COBOL, maybe?
Yeah, COBOL. I didn't get a chance to work on COBOL, but a few of my friends worked on COBOL and Kix and AS400 and stuff like that. But it was, again, a great experience. But I think at some point in time, within the first year or so, I sort of wanted to, I mean, I always wanted to go beyond my engineering, right? One of the reasons why potentially I might have chosen against grad school is because I was not sure whether I would crack TOEFL or GRE. In my mind, that was playing. I reasoned that maybe it's time to flip the discipline. And we were grateful again to have the tech boom inception happening, or IT boom or inception happening. And I did see when I graduated, a lot of my friends, including some from my core group, go to IIMs. So that is something that I always thought would be great to experience from a learning perspective and also from my resume value, right? So that's simply how my mind was working. So when I came into Bangalore after the first year, again, I started focusing on that, took some coaching from the Time Institute those days. And then after the first year, in my second year, I did give a go at CAT. And then again, I was fortunate enough to get selected. And then 2 years after Infosys, I moved to Ahmedabad.
So you went to the Management Institute. So one of the top IITs, and some people argue Ahmedabad, probably the top management institutes in Asia, if not the world. So you land up in Ahmedabad. How was that?
Again, I mean, it was a wonderful experience. From a teaching perspective, I think it was very different from what I'm used to, from even the engineering on the IIT side or even before, because they had this case methodology, which took a little bit of time to get aligned with, right? But, you know, it was contrasting with IIT, which was a four-year experience. IIM is a two-year experience, but contrasting with IIT, when you were a 17-year-old in your high teens, you were already a 21, 22, 23, depending on how many years of experience that you have before you get there. So the maturity or the shaping of your personality is possibly taken to some extent, right? So that's the difference. There is a lot more expectation on being mature, on being conducting oneself without realizing. I kind of felt I am especially the curriculum in Ahmedabad, sets you up for a lot more on the crisis side of the house. That's same with IIT too, right? I think it's interesting because the entrance is based on IQs, right? But the test and the rigor is based on IQ plus EQ, right? Because they prepare you for a crisis. The question is, if the crisis were not to materialize, do you really need to slog that much? Is a hypothetical question, right? But it's interesting, but they prepare you for that, and which is great, and which kind of makes you a lot more 360-degree personality, right, the way I see it.
Yeah. So good experience overall?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was, again, fortunate enough to make a handful of friends.
New ones?
Absolutely, absolutely. All of them are new. And luckily this time, my English is much better because of the Rosenblums and Norman Lewis that I went through in IIT and the corporate environment that I had to go through, right? So it is definitely better. And I didn't feel like, you know, I did have that handicap, right? Even though I always feel I was not on level playing field, but, you know, that's more, I would say, perception. But yeah, that was a great experience. And also culturally, I think that was my first time outside South India for an extended period of time. So
you were in Ahmedabad.
Yes.
Garba, yes. Navratri, Garbas, all those
things. Yeah, we did a couple of them. even though I was, given my South Indian background, it was a little, I was a shy boy, for lack of a better word. So, you know, always watch from the sidelines as opposed to get in the field.
That's fantastic. So then you graduated out of IIM. And then what happened?
So I moved and took up my first job with this company called TSMG, which is a Tata Strategic Management Group in Mumbai. Right out of campus, actually, I had an offer from I2, which unfortunately, that was the time when I passed out in 2001. So it was the time of the tech bust, if you recall.
The dot-com bust.
Yeah, exactly. So they rolled out an offer, but they had to roll back the offer even before
the supply
I could join.
Sanjeev said those companies, supply chain.
Yeah, it was that company. So they were gracious enough to pay some severance. But then, interestingly enough, after passing out of IMA with a campus offer, within a month, I didn't have any job. I was on the street. It's not just me. I think there were about 10 of us who were offered by I2, and all 10 of us were from IMA, and then possibly another 30, 40 from the rest of the IIMs. All of us were in the street, right? So I did go to Mumbai and then apply to a few companies, and thankful for TSMG to make me an offer outside the campus. All right. So I started there for about a couple of years. I worked in strategy consulting space, right? I think they were consulting for Tata's. We got an opportunity to work on very exciting engagements. Those were the days when VSNL was divested, Tata has acquired it. So I had an opportunity to work on business plans there. There were ISP-related work, Tata ISP and new businesses, right? So there were a lot of stuff in the intersection of IT and telecom and tech. Those were the years when McKinsey actually came out of their most blockbuster report of predicting Indian IT to be at 50 billion, right? Within a few years. And boy, they got that, right? So it was that time, right? Fortunate enough to work as a junior consultant, associate consultant to some of those engagements. But then that was the time also I was especially looking back to ER technology. I did enjoy the experience that I had with Infosys before my MBA. So I thought perhaps I should go back there given the tech boom that we're all predicting. So I switched back to Infosys. I joined them in Hyderabad, was there for a few months, and then essentially came to the USA through Infosys to work for one of their premier clients. So that's essentially in 2003, and from that point onwards I've been in this country.
Journey.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the journey has been. So when you look back, Kalyan, everybody's life, and you've had, I have to say that, a kid who didn't speak the language, was in a village with grandparents, and those are all great things. Ends up in IIT Chennai, and then ends up in IIM. Wow, what a amazing thing. What says a lot about you, a lot about you. But so when you look back, and to be honest with you, most of us because we are living in such a fast-paced life, never have the chance sometimes to look back. Were there some key things that you say, hey, those were the key things or key influencers in my life? I think your, as you said, your maternal grandparents, your paternal grandparents, but what were, in your view, I have a certain view, but it's, I want to hear what you think were some of the key inflection points, because life could have gone this way or could have gone this way.
Yeah, I would like to say, you know, in addition to the influence that I had from my grandparents and parents, and of course, I think the curiosity is what got me here, because it's always what next sort of stuff, right? It's like the way you're playing a video game and you start at level one, you like it, you complete it, and then you get to level two. And then you always want to go to the next level philosophy, whether you want to call that as curiosity, whether you want to call that as inquisitiveness, whether you want to call that as openness. Or so that's what drove me. If I look back, essentially, even within the USA, my journey, if I look back, I was in Phoenix, then I moved to New Jersey, then I'm right now in North Carolina. And, you know, I was fortunate to have had an opportunity to travel a lot within Infosys. I think it's the curiosity and potentially, I would say, lack of fear, because, yeah, you're going to do well with blind assurance, but I would say lack of fear, because I experiment. I'm open to trying new cuisines. I'm open to traveling to new places. And a lot of it, we do this between myself and my wife, self-planned, unless it's a city where we kind of think there is a risk to safety, right? So that's how I see it if I reflect back, Sanjay.
Incredible. As I said, just an amazing journey. You've come a long way, but you still have such a big journey. Where do you see, Kalyan, the journey going from here? It's hard to plan, but tell me, what do you think?
Yeah, I think when I look back, I think over the years, what I've learned is, I think it's important to strike a balance. I mean, that's something that I've learned, I would say, over the last few years. It's not something that I've realized. Professionally, I think, given where I am, I would like to continue to contribute in the tech space. It's a great time to be in the tech world right now, given everything else that's going on, right?
With AI and everything else.
With AI and everything. And I had the opportunity to work on diverse industries. And right now I'm spending a lot more time in the healthcare industry. If opportunities present to me, I would like to make a contribution or a continued contribution in the healthcare, at the intersection of healthcare and tech, as healthcare is another very relevant, very challenging, extremely complex problem that we're trying to solve, right? I have my own perspectives. That's a separate conversation at some point in time.
15% of our GDP on healthcare, and what are the results that we get? But anyway, that's a separate podcast.
Yeah, I know. And the other challenge in that space is we don't have any precedents, right? We need to lead, right? It's very easy to have a conversation to compare with a Norway or a Sweden or a Finland, but running a healthcare ecosystem for a 5 million population and a 350 million population is extremely different and difficult. Now you juxtapose that with a 1.5 billion population, which is the problem that India is going to get to in 25 years from now. Right now, they have different problems to solve. Right? Yeah, that's so on the balance side. I mean, we enjoy traveling. We traveled to maybe 17, 18 countries. We were fortunate to be able to do that. And I would like to travel more, because I think traveling enriches you, you know, as somebody said, it broadens your horizons and loosens your bowels. So I like traveling. I'm passionate about that. And then, of course, health. We all need to prioritize. Going back to your healthcare problem, I think we all want to solve the problem from a systemic perspective, but I also want to bring everybody's attention to individual accountability, right? So something that we all ignore again, right? But I just want to be, especially with the latest Economist report, right? We all read about that. 120 years is potentially going to be the lifespan. So it's important to prioritize health. So it's prioritization between health, your passions outside work, ability to contribute to the society within work, and then family and friends. That's how I see it.
That's a pretty full life going forward. I'm going to just, since I've taken you forward, I'm going to just take you back for a second. Kalyan, just pretend I am Kalyan who's just graduating out of IIT Chennai. What would be one or two things that you would say to him of what you know today? The Kalyan of IIT who's just graduating up.
Yeah, I would reflect and then say possibly two things. One, you're going to be fine. I think that's one of the themes. That's not the first one that I'm going to be telling him. But the first one I think I would want to tell him is always focus on maximizing your potential, right? I think that's essentially what I've learned over the years. It's a competition with yourself, right? But you just need to focus on maximizing your potential and striking a balance with everything else that I've just said. So I would like to tell him. And I'm just also going to reassure him that I think he's going to be fine.
So maximizing your potential and maintaining a balance. And you were saying it's the battle is within oneself. It's like in the golf game, they say it's really, you're competing with yourself in many cases.
Exactly. I mean, every time you feel like you want to better your score, just focus on your own score. Because it's a journey. I know rat race as a derogatory, you know, term, but it's when you want to figure out when you want to step up the accelerator and ease off the accelerator. When you ease off the accelerator, there are opportunities that you're losing when you step up the accelerator. You may want to just look at them and then try and see what you want to do. It's a 360 degree perspective to life is how I see it, Sanjay. It's because I kind of feel all of us are in the center of maybe a cube. And if you go close to money, or if you go close to a position, if you go close to something, you are going to be farther away from a family or a friend or a health or giving back to community. So it's, I kind of believe there are always competing priorities. There are always constraints. We always will have constraints, right? It's about making a choice. It's about making that prioritization. It's about striking the balance. That's essentially what I would like to tell him.
That's great. That's fantastic. Strike the balance, which is sometimes harder said than done. Kalyan, we tend to close by asking the same question to all our guests, basically two questions with very short answers, because we are compiling them as a cloud. What is your, this show is called Indianness. So what is your definition of Indianness? Everybody has a different.
Yeah, I think there are a few words that come to my mind, right? One is harmony, perseverance, grit, jugaad, as we've seen. I think those are the normal terms that come to my mind. But one thing that I like, which gels well with my value system, is what they call as Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam, which is hashtag one family, which is very hard to adhere to, given everything else that's going on in this world. But one family, or unity in diversity, as we used to call it when we were young, it's about bringing that global perspective and prioritizing the collective well-being, right? So that's what Indianness to me is. And we just
the
need to keep
the world is
up.
One family is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Last one, one person alive, not your family member, either in India or in the or outside India, but of Indian origin, who inspires you? One person.
Again, a lot of names to choose from, given my interests.
And I'll pick one or two. I will tell you which one it is going to be, but you tell me.
I'll pick one, but I'll just say I get inspired by, if you look at the latest leaders like Satya Nadella, or Sundar Pichai, or Mukesh Ambani, or Ratan Tata, or, you know, or Sachin Tendulkar, or Amitabh Bachchan, or even Shah Rukh Khan, right? So diverse fields given my interest. But I think I'll have to choose Mr. Murthy, and Narayan Murthy is the, you know, founder of Infosys, and the vision that he was able to visualize and the way he was able to lead the team and execute, obviously with the support of everybody, right? Everything gets done by a team. It's the vision, I think. So I would love to take his name and get inspired by him.
Very good choice. By the way, his spouse is no less in many ways too, Mrs. Murthy.
No, absolutely. My wife, Sunanda, loves reading her books.
So
she's a great fan. She's a great fan of Sudha's readings.
Great choices. Kalyan, we've come to the end, but I could speak to you for hours. Thanks so much for taking the time, and what an inspirational story and journey. We are building an Indianness community, and I hope that we can have you be part of it, because others are getting inspired by you, and they might want, whether it is mentorship or having you on the board or things of that nature. As you said, it's one family. So that's what we're trying to build. But thank you really for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you very much, Sanjay, again, for having me. And I'm just humbled to be included in this discussion. And as always, open to participate in any discussions or If you think I can add value elsewhere, certainly, extremely, would be very happy to contribute.
Wonderful. Thanks again, Kalyan. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Indianist Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review and subscribe to enjoy future inspirational stories.